If you say you're a Christian today, and I ask the question, well, why are you a Christian? Well, because I go to church. Because I do this. Because I follow Christ. Well, who is Christ? And you can't explain who Christ is. And when did you commence following Christ? And you can never turn around and say, well, I'm a sinner, and I turn from sin, and I follow Christ. And your explanation of being a Christian has nothing to do with what Christ has done. Then there's a problem, because our salvation is built upon Christ. Our identity as Christians is built upon what Christ has done.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, delighted to have you with us as we go to the second part of our sermon, Fight the Good Fight. May the Lord bless His word to your soul today.
And And we can look at other aspects of doctrine as well. It is important to understand the truth of God. Therefore, these doctrines are absolutely essential to you and I for our salvation, for our walk with Christ, for our growing in the grace of God, for our edification. These doctrines cannot be set aside. And therefore, fighting the good fight of faith, standing for the truth of God, is it not necessary? Because when man takes these doctrines and sets them aside, what is he doing? He is setting aside the gospel of Christ. He is setting aside the offer of the gospel. He is setting aside that path that leads to heaven. That's just one path. There's a lot of roadworks and construction on Fraser Highway right now. And often I would go a different way home. I would go perhaps on 184th and turn on 68th and get home that way. And maybe try to skip a lot of the things going on Fraser. There's a couple of different ways home. And you perhaps know that as well. There's construction or roadworks near your home. You're very impatient. You don't want to sit there for 90 minutes waiting on the traffic moving through. And so there's a different way. It's maybe quicker. Maybe not normally quicker, but in that case, it is quicker. But when we think of heaven, there is one way. There is one, as it were, great doctrine. There is one path to heaven. Through the sound doctrine of Christ. And that is the path that needs to be followed. It needs to be believed, dear sinner, by you. Your ideas, your path, if you take out your construction tools and you try to make a road that leads to heaven yourself, it's not going to go there. There's one way set out in the Word of God through the doctrine of Christ. And if that way, that path is neglected or ignored by you, there is no salvation. No salvation. And therefore, fighting, standing for that doctrine is so important because it is the only way of salvation. Dear believer, I want you to understand that. The doctrine of Christ is not a light thing. It is not a light thing. And men today will water it down. Men today will say it doesn't matter. I heard a man preach to a recording once upon a time. And I don't know where he stands, whether he's an Arminian or a Calvinist or whether he even knows what those things are. But he was preaching. In an Arminian church, it's probably why I was listening to a recording and not there, but he was listening he was preaching in an Arminian church, and he said about whether you are an Arminian and you think this way, or you're a Calvinist believing in the doctrines of grace and you think this way, and he brought the two together as if they don't matter, as if the doctrines taught within those theological frameworks do not matter. You can believe one. Or the other. It doesn't matter. And there are doctrines in that Arminian system that certainly don't have their ground in Scripture and in Reformed theology. But he brought the two together as if it doesn't matter. Doctrine matters. What you believe, the idea that we have in Arminianism of being saved and lost, falling into sin and losing your salvation, some who are extreme saying that if you die with unconfessed sin, you don't go to heaven despite professing Christ. You go to hell if there's unconfessed sin. It does not give comfort. It does not give peace. It does not give that true resting upon Christ. It is a doctrine that creates much fear in that extreme. But yet resting upon Christ, knowing no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. If we are truly saved, even we ourselves, it gives much peace and confidence. Doctrine matters. And therefore, there is this necessary fight. The enemy of the gospel is against Christ and is against the gospel. We can think of Satan. He's against our sanctification. He's against the preaching of the gospel and serving Christ. And we fight against him. He is the great enemy. And therefore, it is a necessary fight because of the importance of sound doctrine that Satan seeks to hinder. Fighting can be a wearisome thing. Conflict is tiring. And Paul reminds Timothy about this. He says in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. This is not a fight that should be tiring. This is not a fight that is wearisome. But there's an aspect of this fight that is a blessing. An aspect of this fight that is a great motivation. And this brings us to our second thought. It is a good fight because of the precious nature of sound doctrine. It is a good fight because of the precious nature of sound doctrine. Here in this text, The sadness, the trials, the difficulties of the fight are sweetened by this emphasis upon the precious nature of this fight. We can look at the fight of faith. We can see men of God who've fallen to the wayside, who've compromised on doctrine, who've turned away from God into sin. It's grieving. It's grieving. We can see attack after attack upon the church of Christ. It is grieving. And Paul knew the hardships of the battle. But he says, fight the fight of faith. But he uses that word good. Fight the good fight of faith. There's a precious nature here. It is a good fight. This word good in the original Greek can mean beautiful, good quality, profitable, excellent, pleasant, delightful, worthy, upright, virtuous, possessing moral excellence. Therefore, it is a great word. And this is what Paul says. The fight of faith, it is a good fight. It is a beautiful fight. It is an upright fight. It is a virtuous fight. We can think of many fights. We can think of conflicts in history. Conflicts filled with blood and gore, and violence, and heartache, and death. We can think of those who were killed on the battlefields of the Somme in France in 1916 during the First World War. We can think of the beaches of D-Day, men running off the landing craft, hardly getting a foot on the beach, and they lost their lives. Yes, there was a purpose in it all. There was a push against that which was wrong and that which was evil. But there was so much heartache, so much death. Could we turn around and say it was an excellent fight? It was a beautiful fight. It was an excellent, pleasant. No. We're thankful for those who laid down their lives, but war and the horrors of war are a sad reality. But Paul says it is a good fight. And he encourages our hearts to stand for him. He encourages us not to tire then of this fight, to keep on going, to keep pushing on, to never give up, to never, as it were, become weary. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. And what is his thought? Beating the air, you're not going to do anything. If you were to practice to box or practice for a fight, beating the air is something that might not be overly helpful. You want to hit the resistance. You want to hit the punch bag. You want to feel the resistance of that. Beating the air, you're not getting anything done. Nothing done whatsoever. And he says, I'm not running. I'm not fighting as one that beats the air. It is a good fight. It's a fight not to be tired of. I do not fight uncertainly, because it is a good fight because of the precious nature of sound doctrine, standing for the cause of Christ, treasuring and preserving and fighting for truth, standing for our Savior, pressing on for His glory. Is that not a blessed thing? A blessed thing. Dear believer, the doctrine of Christ is a precious doctrine. Think again of our salvation. How precious that is. How precious are the doctrines that bring us to Christ. How precious are the doctrines that keep us fixed and cleaving to Christ. How precious are the doctrines that feed us from the table of Christ and encourage our hearts and lift us up. And as we stand for those doctrines and as we stand for that faith, it is a good thing. We have a good captain. We have a great and good cause, which is His glory. Why is this such a good fight? Because of the preciousness of Christ and His doctrine. Dear believer, do you understand that? That as you fight the good fight, it is a good fight because of the precious nature of that doctrine. Do you treasure and value the doctrine of Christ? Do you treasure and value the faith that Christ has given to you? Dear unbeliever, today, what if you and the good, precious doctrine of Christ? It is good to hear the gospel. It is good to hear the truth. It is good to be taught the truth. Therefore, don't despise it, young person. Don't despise the doctrine of Christ. It is good for you. Good for your soul. Good to hear the truths of salvation. Rejoice in the blessed privilege that is yours. I remember over the years giving my testimony, and often as it is, it's almost like a little cliche or something that people in my position often say, and you start off your testimony. I had the great privilege of being born into a Christian home. Hundreds and thousands of people have said it over the years, and maybe some of the sharpness of that or the importance of that is maybe a little lost. Well, what a great privilege it is to be born into a Christian home. What does that mean? It means that you weren't born into a home that was dead and dark, with no gospel influence, with parents who don't know the Savior, with parents who do not value your soul or know anything about the importance of your soul, parents who know nothing about the saving power of Christ. Dark, dead home filled with sin and iniquity. But you weren't born into a home like that, perhaps. You were born into a home where the gospel is presented, where there's church, where there's Sunday, where there's the gospel light within the home, where you're taught the gospel, where parents have instructed you in the good and precious doctrine of Christ that is necessary in order for you to know Christ as your Savior. Treasure it. Appreciate that instruction. And as they teach you, as they live for Christ in the home, that is them obeying this text to fight the good fight of faith. They're reaching out. They're presenting the good and glorious truths of the gospel. They're fighting for Christ. Dear parent, grandparent, whoever you may be in the workplace as well, fight the good fight of faith. Hold high the doctrines, the glorious doctrines of Christ. Don't despise them. Don't shy away from it, because these doctrines are precious. Take those opportunities that arise to put Christ first and to present this great and glorious doctrine. The enemy twists this wonderful thought. There are many professing believers who do it as well. Oh, your fight is not so good. Your stand is wicked. It's against God. The enemy will seek to discourage and say, you're fighting a fight, but it's not the fight of faith. You're fighting a fight, but it's not a fight that needs to be waged. How often we may be accused of that. There is an issue. There is something where truth has to be presented and truth has to be stood upon. And those that are standing in opposition to that and to the truth, oh, your fight is not good. Your fight is not for the faith. You're just trying to cause trouble. Dear believer, let us remind ourselves the importance of the precious and necessary nature of Christ's doctrine, that we would rejoice that our fight is good. We would not be discouraged by those who seek to twist it and corrupt it, but we would stand firm as a church and as a church family. Let us stand firm on the doctrine of Christ, rejoicing in its precious nature, believing it. And then thirdly and finally, it is a victorious fight because of the excellency of sound doctrine. It is a victorious fight because of the excellency of sound doctrine. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Eternal life is the crown that is promised for us. The believer who serves the Lord and follows after Him is to lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy here professed a good profession. He lay hold on eternal life. This doctrine, this sound doctrine, brought him to lay hold of eternal life, the excellency of this doctrine, but it is a victorious fight. Timothy is to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. He is to be victorious. What is eternal life? It is that gift of God. It is that which Christ gives to His people who turn from sin. Oh, how marvelous it is. Timothy knew his heart was right with God. Timothy knew the importance and the excellency of this doctrine, but also that it is a victorious fight. Paul is not saying, jump over the trench, run toward the enemy, and you'll not know what hit you, and that's the end. Paul's not saying that the fight will end in disgrace, or the fight will end in defeat. We're to fight the good fight of faith. We're to lay hold on eternal life, that great reward at the end of our fight in this life. There's victory in view. If we think of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of what Christ has done, Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable. There's a great victory for the believer. And as we fight the good fight of faith, there is that victory of eternal life. There is that blessedness in the peace of God for all eternity. There is that assurance that all is well with our souls. Why? Because of Christ. And the excellency of Christ's doctrine reminds us of that. That as believers, we do not fight a losing battle, but Christ has given us the victory. Oh, is that not an encouragement for you and I today? To stand for Christ, to love His doctrine, to serve Him, to fight the good fight of faith, knowing that we will lay hold of eternal life, knowing that we have that great and that glorious victory through our glorious Savior. What a victory He gives. What a victory He gives. The Apostle Paul wrote this epistle. He was concerned about Timothy. He loved him. He had confidence in him, but he reminded him constantly of the importance of the message which he was to preach. And dear believer, we commence this series in Timothy as, I was going to say, a young pastor, older in years perhaps, might be the best way of looking at it. I was called young man this morning at the front door, and as I said, it makes you feel good that you can just shave 15, 20 years of your life away if someone calls you young. And, well, I may be young. I've been here 18 months. We commenced this series. We were starting new ministry for myself, a new ministry for the congregation here. Paul was speaking to Timothy, writing as well to the Church of Christ. It's contained in Scripture for us. Dear believer, if you turn to 1 Timothy and you look and say, well, it's written to Timothy, it's a pastoral epistle, I'm not a minister. Let's move forward. 2 Timothy, same thing. Let's move forward again. Titus, same thing. And you move to Philemon and you ignore Timothy and Titus. There's a great void of truth and practical doctrine that you're missing. There's a benefit here, not only for the pastor, but a benefit for the congregation. This is where the pastor is to be. This is where the pastor is to be before God. This is what he is to preach. This is what the congregation are to pray for. This is what they are to expect. This is the work of the ministry, that we fight the good fight of faith together. And this is where we need to be and remind ourselves. And Paul's emphasis is, sound doctrine is to be preached. Sound doctrine is to be preached. Sound doctrine is to be preached. Do not depart from sound doctrine. Do not be influenced by others. Do not be influenced by the love of money. Live for Christ. Flee sin. Follow after righteousness. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand firm upon sound doctrine. He rams that home to our hearts. And this is where we need to be as the people of God. We need to love sound doctrine. When we come to the end of this series, and in 5-10 years' time, you're asked, what about that series on 1 Timothy all those years ago? What do you remember about it? Fight the good fight of faith. Stay grounded, true, sound doctrine of Christ. There are other things as well, but those are two of the great truths and practical doctrines that permeate this. And we're to apply it to our lives and to our hearts. And we're reminded, yes, we have that victory. Let us not depart from sound doctrine, false doctrine. There's no victory, no peace. There's no salvation, no blessed eternal life in false doctrine. All that comes from the true doctrine of Christ. May we fight for it. May we stand for it. May we pray. How do we fight for it? We pray. We support the work of God. We witness. We serve. We do what we can. We do not grab our swords and charge the enemy. We grab the sword of the Spirit and charge the enemy. We serve God. We fight against sin. We stand against sin. Dear congregation, is that what you desire? That at the end of your life, at the end of your spiritual journey, not only would the congregation have a good report upon you, but more importantly, Christ would say, well done, my good and faithful servant. May the Lord enable us to do that. Stand for Him, whatever the cost, and to fight the good fight of faith. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. May that be said of all of us. May it not look out of place being mentioned at our funerals or put on our gravestone. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept it. May the Lord bless His word. For you.
Second Corinthians chapter 7 and the verse 6 is where we are today for Spurgeon's devotional. God that comforteth those that are cast down. God that comforteth those that are cast down. And who comforteth like Him? Go to some poor, distressed child of God. Tell him sweet promises and whisper in his ear choice words of comfort. He is like the deaf adder. He listens not to the voice of the charmer. Charm he never so wisely. He drinketh gall and wormwood, and comfort him as you may, it will only be a note or two of mournful resignation that you will get from him. You will bring forth no psalm of praise, no hallelujahs, no joyful sonnets, but let God come to his child, let him lift up his countenance, and the mourner's eyes glisten with hope. Do you not hear him sing? 'Tis paradise, if thou art here, if thou depart, 'tis hell. You could not have cheered him, but the Lord has done it. He is the God of all comfort. There is no balm in Gilead, but there is balm in God. There is no physician among the creatures, but the Creator is Jehovah Rophi. It is marvellous how one sweet word of God will make whole songs for Christians. One word of God is like a piece of gold, and the Christian is the gold beater, and can hammer that promise out for whole weeks. So then, poor Christian, thou needest not sit down in despair. Go to the Comforter, and ask him to give thee consolation. Thou art a poor, dry well. You've heard it said that when a pump is dry, you must pour water down it first of all, and then you will get water. And so, Christian, when thou art dry, go to God. Ask him to shed abroad his joy in thy heart, and then thy joy shall be full. Do not go to earthly acquaintances, for you will find them Job's comforters after all, but go first and foremost to thy God, that comforteth those that are cast down, and you will soon say, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. We thank you for listening today. We trust that our program has been a blessing to you. I am Pastor Andrew Fitton, and this is Let the Bible Speak. We're back each weekday, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., Sundays at 9:30 for our church service. We trust that you'll be with us again as we continue to let the Bible speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.